Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We welcome in Sage Rosenfeld. Sage, how you doing?
That might be the most unusual intro into a segment that I've ever had.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be if your insurance agent wasn't putting the boots to you the way they're putting the boots to me. That's why people need to go out and get Geico, because I can't get out of it because the guy's a family friend.
Sounds good. Well, maybe our NFL PA, we have some Geico insurance to try to get this collective bargaining situation figured out.
You know, it's always good when the guest is the one who makes the transition instead of the host. That's fantastic. All right, Sage, let me get into it with you. From what you've studied, from what you've talked about, you're a 12-year vet. You know how these things go. Is this a good deal for the players?
You know, I don't think anyone actually knows this answer until one. Usually it's like a couple years later. A lot of times agents will sort of tell you like, this was a good or bad deal for the players, because they're the ones actually negotiating these contracts and understanding what they negotiated, you know, this year compared to 3 or 4 years ago. So they sort of, it's one of those things you don't really know the answer until a couple years later. It's sort of like a drafting a quarterback in the first round or something. You don't really know that answer right off the bat. And I think number two is no one actually knows all the details in this thing. And that's where, as a former player, obviously all these current players, you have to rely on the leadership of the NFL Players Association, guys like Eric Winston, who I did play with Eric for 3 years in Houston. And I think a lot of players really trust him and respect him. And, of course, there's a lot of lawyers and a lot of non-players involved in this thing as well, too. So, so far, what I find interesting is that the owners seem to sort of have take this deal now, you're not going to get a better one later situation, when the players, to me, that's always, when you're in negotiations, always of like, they want to get this deal done now. Maybe we should wait a while, because there's this whole thing with the TV contract coming up, I believe in the next year, which of course the owners want to go to, the big networks and say, hey, we've got a 10-year deal with the players, so you should up us to this amount of money, blah blah blah. But if they don't have that deal, that hurts their ability to negotiate as well. So if I'm the players, I think you sort of wait it out and try to get the things that you feel like that the players deserve. The players, the ones that are taking the physical risk in playing this sport, and of course the owners, they have done extremely well. I mean, Jerry Jones bought that franchise, the Dallas Cowboys, in the early '90s for under $100 million. I think it was like $70 million, and now it's worth, $4 or $5 billion. So believe me, the owners have done extremely well over the course of the last 20 or 30 years.
The great Sage Rosenfels joining us on the show. QB Collective Score, North 670, the score all over the place. 12-year NFL vet. Follow him on Twitter at Sage Rosenfels 18. You mentioned Eric Winston. He's a very smart guy, very savvy about these things. And you kind of answered the next question I was going to have, because it always seems to be two or a year and a half down the line after these CBAs, all of a sudden there's a problem that's raised. Last one was the big-time marijuana issue, a couple of other things. When I look over this stuff, and still some of it is legalese that I don't even know, I'm not going to pretend like I do. The 17th game thing, though, Sage, the payment on that seems to be fishy. Tom Pelissero said, well, no, this is only on guys who were paid for a 16-game schedule. And I'm thinking, Sage, and maybe you disagree, I'm going, no, it doesn't matter. You don't work a full day and get half the pay in some of these cases. It should just still be a whole another game check, and you got the money. If you want 17 games, you should pay what's commensurate with every other game.
Yeah, I don't know why they decided to do it that way, other than trying to skim some money. I mean, you think you just sort of prorate it. What they call a 17-week schedule now, you just make an 18th week. I don't know if they're going to do two bye weeks now, or however they would do that. But listen, if you're a rookie and you're making $500,000, you get paid $250 for the 17th game. This is the greatest deal ever. But if you're a guy making, you know, pretty much any starting quarterback or star player making, you know, $10 to $30 million. This is that's a small amount of money for those guys to play another week. So you would think they just come to the sort of the easy idea of just sort of prorating it based off of what you were making, you know, throughout the rest of the season. So, you know, the 17th game, you know, I love the fact that the NFL is 32 teams. There are 8 divisions of 4. There are 16 games. You know, it's just sort of like the numbers seem to be perfect. You know, we sort of know the schedule for the most part. A lot of times, like looking forward for years on down the road, many times because there's just sort of this perfect number here of 32 teams and 16 games and so on and so on. You had that 17th game. I don't know where that extra game comes into play. You know, it's like in a 33rd NFL franchise. Like, how does that work out? Some division would have to have 5. So, obviously, you know, more revenue, the better. I got to think the players would love to have an extra bye week if you're going to go a 17th week. You'd also, another thing to add to this that never has made any sense to me is that the whole 46 guys get to dress on game day thing. It sounds like they're going to move that up to 48, but, like, I don't understand why they just don't have all the guys, all
Thank
the
you.
Players
Thank
be able
you.
To dress. Like, but this makes no sense to me.
They're making a 46-man roster. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, why am I getting a play check and I can't even dress for the game? Like, that's a practice squad player, right? I don't get why they have that rule in general. And the more guys you can have more. I mean, your paycheck's the same whether you don't dress or whether you dress if you're on the active roster. I just don't see why having fewer players play in the game is better for, let's just say, you know, player safety. You know, you could have those guys who are just, you know, in their street clothes on the sideline. They could be taking some of those reps off of the guys that are, you know, out there playing, and could have an extra offensive lineman. You could have some guys on special teams. You could have, you know, just more guys in the rotation. That, to me, has never made any sense, and I've never had one person say to me, yeah, this is the reason they do that. You know, of course, there's always injuries and things like that, but, hey, it's a football team. It's a football club. Like, you're going to have injured guys, but, you know, if you're getting paid a salary, I don't know why everybody doesn't dress for the games.
Sage Rosenfeld's with us on the show. Sage, I'm willing to admit, I know that adding an extra team to the postseason cheapens the postseason. I just don't think I care. I still think I want to watch another week of playoff football.
Well, it's not going to add any more weeks of football.
Well, I should say another game of playoff football. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Well,
yeah,
here's what I think about that, and I think the way the NFL, the way the playoffs are right now are great. I like that there's a 1 and a 2 seed that both get byes. I mean, that bye is huge, and I understand that the NFL would love to have the one, you know, all the ones, you know, make it all the way through and have 2 ones in the Super Bowl. That bye is a big advantage as far as getting to the Super Bowl. And I think, you know, sometimes there's conferences where there's just a dominant team. You know, those old Patriots teams that are winning 14, 15 games, and, you know, you're pretty much, you know, you'd have no chance of getting that bye. I like the fact that another team, a 2 seed, also gets that bye. I get it. You know, there'll be 2 more playoff games, and playoff games are probably, you know, twice as valuable as a regular season game as far as the money is concerned. Of course, it always comes down to the money. But again, of all the things that they're looking to change, I sort of like the playoff situation as it is right now, and I would think that they shouldn't change that. But, you know, if they can see enough money, and the players, of course, are going to get paid more money, I guess then it makes sense. But, you know, as we all know, that those playoff checks, the players, are not very big. They're much smaller. I mean, yeah. $250,000 is a huge number compared to those playoff checks, which are usually $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and so. You know, is that worth it for the players when the owners get to make all that money? I'm not sure.
XFL, yes or no?
Oh, I think it's great. I think XFL is great. Like, I've watched some XFL games. Sometimes it's a quarter. I think I watched maybe 1 full game. But, you know, listen, people love the sport of football. High school football, college football, pro football. You know, a lot of people don't like watching the NBA or college basketball. Of course, I do like watching in particular NBA in the playoffs. And I really do like college basketball this time of year as we get to the tournaments and stuff. But some people just love football, and they will watch any, you know, sort of football. And I think it's a play. There, you know, there's this sort of gap between college and pros, and I think this can fill that gap. There's obviously a big need for some development for quarterbacks. Because, you know, there's only 1 quarterback that can play in these NFL games, and so there's always this lack of quarterback development. People always complain about, you know, why quarterbacks aren't good enough, and there's not 32 starters, not enough backups that are really, really good. It's also a great spot for offensive linemen to learn. People don't realize that college football has a vast array of coaching. You have coaches that are basically NFL coaches, and you have coaches that aren't very far removed from basically coaching to high school football. Well, those players that come from that coaching try to make it to the NFL, and a lot of times they're a couple years behind these other players that maybe went to an Ohio State or a Clemson or an Alabama that had more, you know, pro style coaching. And so that development is really important. So I see it as a very much a development league. I don't know about the timing right now and all those things, but I think the XFL is here to stay. They got to figure out a way to make money. I love the games, and I love them in the soccer stadiums. I think watching these games in soccer stadiums are more 20 to 25,000. I think that makes it a lot better. I don't like watching, 10,000 people in MetLife Stadium in New York when it's 80,000 seat stadium.
I agree.
So I hope they make enough money that they stay. And, listen, Vince McMahon, whether you like WWE and all that stuff or not, I'm not a big fan of it, but I do know it makes a lot of money, and he's made a lot of money. And that guy knows how to make money, and he understands TV, and he understands fans. And so I got to think a second time around, he'll find a way to make this thing work.
I got like 2 minutes. I have to ask you this question. Sage Rosenfeld's with us, 12-year NFL veteran quarterback. If you were Joe Burrow, would you have second thoughts about the Cincinnati Bengals?
1,000%. Absolutely, yeah.
Would you then take the next step to either hold him over a barrel and get traded out of that situation, or it's like, listen, if I'm coming there, I'm running the show. What would you do?
Well, here's what's really interesting is that, this year there's definitely an alternative. People, I really like Tua. I think Tua is actually the better quarterback of the two, but he gets injured a lot, so that's sort of the concern there. So, the Cincinnati does have a second option, which sort of hurts, Joe Burrow's leverage a little bit. But, listen, I backed up Eli in 2010, and he and I talked a couple times about that whole situation in San Diego. And I think it was sort of known that the San Diego Chargers at the time were sort of not a first-class organization. They didn't really do everything it took to win football games, to win championships. They didn't spend money on scouting and coaches' salaries. And when there was free agents, they weren't one of those aggressive teams. The New York Giants were one of those traditional teams who had been there, done it so many times. They were a sort of first-class, world-class organization. Cincinnati might be the worst in the NFL as far as spending money and doing whatever it takes to win football games. And, this is the only time, Joe Burrow sort of has a little bit of leverage is to basically say, I don't want to go to one of these places. And it worked out well for Eli. Phillip Rivers had an unbelievable career, maybe a Hall of Fame career, and never won a Super Bowl and probably won't, right? So, and Eli has too. So, I have no issue. John Elway did it. Eli Manning did it. I had no issue if Joe Burrow decides he does not want to go to Cincinnati. I think I'm all for that. Again, this is the only time. There's not another job out there, other than, of course, in sports, like basketball or whatever, that you graduate or you leave college, you leave high school, and you have no choice as to what city and business that you work for. But that's the deal in the NFL. And I think Joe Burrow trying to have whatever leverage he has is basically – I think he can try to, basically be cool enough and then cold enough to the organization to maybe they'll trade the pick, maybe they'll draft Tua, maybe they'll draft the defensive end from Ohio State. But if I were him, I would much rather prefer to play for some of these other franchises.
Sage, can't thank you enough, friend. All the best. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.